The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is John chapter 10, verses 11 to 16. The sermon title is Hearing Our Shepherd's Voice. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have raised children, you might know the panic that comes to a parent when his or her child gets lost in a crowd. It's easy to do if you're not careful. It can happen in a crowded mall during the Christmas rush. It can happen in a busy airport during the main flight hours during the holidays. It could even happen locally here at the San Mateo County Fair, which is starting at the end of this month, just down 28th Avenue on the other side of the tracks. And this could happen while the parent is busy buying good things to eat for the child, and the child wanders off into the midway where all the rides and the games are, and then where did he go? If this has ever happened to you, you know that it's very difficult to catch your child's attention at a distance by yelling their name when there's a lot of noise and other human voices out there. All the noise and voices tend to blur into a dull roar, even though children have better hearing than adults. At the same distance, however, if your child sees your face, there's instant recognition and relief from both parent and child. And this proves that humans are better at recognizing things by sight than by hearing. Many animals are better at hearing than seeing. This is the case among animals that live in herds, such as deer, elephants, geese, cattle, and today's topic, sheep. In a herd, where if you ask me, every mother looks more or less the same, the young can tell their parents apart by the sound of their voice. To you and me, every cow's moo sounds the same. But for the calves, their mother's moo is unique and recognizable amidst a herd of mooing cattle. Keepers of herding animals have known about this fact probably as early as the time of Abel, son of Adam, who herded sheep for a living. A shepherd makes sure that newborn lambs hear his voice frequently in the context of being fed so that they will follow his voice for the rest of their lives. This auditory fact of animal husbandry is the basis of our gospel lesson, where Jesus says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." This verse refers to the preceding verses 3 and 4. The sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. This means that believers recognize Jesus' voice, they listen to his words, and they trust his words. First, believers recognize Jesus' voice. Now, there are many religions that vie for your attention today. It's like a big crowd. And this situation is what sociologists call religious pluralism. In traditional societies, only one religion was accepted. And so most people worshiped the gods of that religion, and they hardly knew about anything else. Well, here in the Bay Area, it's just the opposite. We know not only about many different type of Protestants, plus Catholics, plus Greek and Russian Orthodox and the Jews. We also know about Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism, Baha'iism, Confucianism, Taoism, Shintoism, and Chinese folk religions. And those are just the dominant ones. Some scholars and their disciples tried to argue that all these religions are true. But the devotees of these religions don't believe that. For example, Muslims do not recognize the Hindu gods. If they did, they would be Hindu. Jews don't recognize the Christian triune God. If they did, they would be Christian. Other scholars and their disciples try to prove that there is no God, or if there is, we can't know anything about him. Although this is not a new philosophy, the prevalence and influence of it is. In Europe and America, secularism in Europe and America is the fastest growing substitute for religion, and that's what it is. Without giving credence to any sophisticated philosophy, most secularists just don't want to believe in God, and they don't want to be bothered by religion. So how do you know, out of the crowd, which of these religions and their voices or philosophies is true? Recognizing the true God in the roaring crowd of world religions is not an easy task. But those who have heard Jesus' voice in Scripture as children have a much greater chance of listening to his voice as adults. Just like shepherds train their lambs to recognize their voice when they are young, Many Christian churches, including ours, train their children and youth to recognize the voice of Jesus throughout the Bible. Churches that don't do this are in the decline, as we see in many Christian denominations in America today. Second point, believers listen to Jesus' words. It's not enough for believers to recognize the voice of Jesus in the scriptures. They also need to listen to what he says. Where and when do you need to listen to Jesus? Well, first you need to listen to Jesus in the gospel lessons. We have his words right there verbatim, what he said, of course translated into English. And this is why our congregation stands at attention during the reading of the gospel. It's not just a ritual. It's intended to help you pay attention. Your minds might have been wandering around during one of the introits or the graduals of the prayers, but we want you to pay attention to what Jesus says. That's why we have you stand right there. Second, you need to listen to the meaning of what Jesus says and does in the sermon. Now, I intentionally preach almost all the time just on the gospel lessons so that you can hear and understand the voice of your shepherd. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Jesus as your shepherd. The sermon is not a time for the pastor to foist his own ideas on you, to flaunt his erudition or education or oratory. It's supposed to be a time when you hear Jesus and his words. And if you don't hear Jesus and his words, I'm not doing my job. For some reason, I'm not preaching on the gospel lesson. Third, you should listen to Jesus where there are other opportunities. In group Bible study, our ladies just did that yesterday afternoon, or Sunday school. And not everybody can participate in this way, but it has several benefits that are not found in the sermon. For one, you can ask questions of the pastor or teacher, especially of things you don't understand. For another, you can dig deeper into the words of the text and see the words in their original context. Fourth, you should listen to Jesus in your own personal reading of the Bible. And it doesn't matter how you do it. You can set your own pace or follow a prescribed lesson plan. The main thing is to take the time to read and to hear and to think about and to take to heart the words of Jesus. And I promise you that if you do that, it will change your life if you stick to it for the long term. Point three, believers trust Jesus' words. Believers need to not only recognize the voice of Jesus and listen to his words, they should also trust when Jesus gives words a promise. The first promise that Jesus made to his disciples was, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist said the same thing. And it means that this world will not continue long in its present state. Now, it will probably outlast you and me, but in the history of the universe, it's not going to be very long. A wonderful transformation of the heavens and the earth is coming soon, and those who believe in Jesus will enjoy the new heavens and the new earth, and they'll enjoy it eternally. Before the kingdom of heaven comes, the day of judgment will come with the resurrection of all the dead. Those who are dead will arise in their bodies. Those who are alive will be changed. All will pass before the judgment seat upon which Christ will be seated. Those who believe in him and his words will be ushered by the angels into the new heavens and the new earth. Those who don't believe in him and his words will be ushered by the angels to the place of eternal punishment. So how are you going to fare on that day, the day of judgment? Well, just look at Jesus. Look at him and how he responds to people in the gospel lessons. Do you see a mean, vindictive, or punitive judge? No, you don't. Even to the woman caught in adultery, which was a serious crime, he had no words of condemnation. Just a reminder, don't sin like that in the future. In Jesus, we see that God is gracious and merciful with love and compassion toward his children. And that is who and what you will meet on the day of judgment. Because through his work of salvation, he has declared you innocent of all your sins in God's eyes, if you believe his salvation. So do you believe that you are forgiven for Jesus' sake? Forgiven is ultimately the one word of Jesus that you must believe, because through the forgiveness of your sins, you also receive eternal life. May you always hear and believe that word of forgiveness in the church and the scriptures for your temporal comfort and for your eternal salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.